me about how I didn't play Resident Evil. What happened?
Oh shit.
No, we're just gonna spoil the
we're
game.
We're gonna spoil
for
the
now.
Fucking. You we're gonna spoil the chance. Whole thing for you.
What do you mean I had my chance? That's not
yeah,
how video games
it's
work.
It's been
that's
long enough, man. Work. The 2 weeks is up. Spoilers are on.
2 weeks.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's a 6 hour game.
Do you know what comes out on Friday is John Wick 2? Holy shit, I am so excited
John
for
Wick
that.
John Wick 2 comes out this week?
John Wick 2 comes out this Friday, man. John Wick 2 John comes Wick out 2 on Friday.
This Friday.
My actual thought was this is, of any movie that I would take a day off of work to see, it would be John Wick 2.
What? You haven't taken a single day off of work for anything.
For anything yet. And when I saw John Wick 2 comes out on Friday, I was like, maybe.
Who is? Oh God! Don't do that again.
Oh shit!
I'm gonna.
That
Christ
was
Christ
awful.
Their own.
I'm slurping noodles. That's the kind of audio we need.
Noodles are quality podcast food. The loudest food.
What's John? Who's John Wick?
That's a great question. Everyone in the movie asks it.
Is it good?
Dude, it's
John Wick
it's so unbelievably good. It's so ridiculously, incredibly good.
Who's in it?
Keanu Reeves. And a few other people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Keanu Reeves.
Is he a comic book?
No.
It's like Dark Souls.
No, it's
but not. Well, actually, the storytelling is very reminiscent of Dark Souls. How there's this man that you don't quite know, and he's sent on a quest, and he's sent into this strange world.
I think you're really pulling.
Familiar, but not exactly. Hmm. And then there's weird currency. So pretty much the same thing.
It's like Dark Souls is the beginning of every video game pitch from now until eternity.
Well,
are we mostly ready?
I'm excited, you know.
John Wick 2 is sick. Go see first John Wick. It's on Amazon. It's everywhere. It's not difficult to find. See it. It is so good. The great thing about John Wick is that the moment in which you will be excited for John Wick as you're watching it is the first moment, because the whole movie is good. It's incredibly paced. It's shit is always happening. It's always popping off. It gets better every scene. It's awesome. It is so good. See John Wick. See John Wick 2.
Okay. In theaters now.
No.
And
well,
and,
yeah, after,
and,
I guess after the podcast
WPG
comes out.
Gave it a fresh rating.
Yeah, I don't even know if I have this in the podcast, but are we going? James Wick is slurping his food.
I'm gonna keep slurping
cheese and rice. I'm gonna have such
have
a hard time editing this.
To get through this podcast, but I'm gonna slurp for.
I
the
hope
next
that
two
I hope that we can talk about John. James. Well, jeez, well, I'm not starting this off strong. Sean and I are gonna have to talk about the Super Bowl for. Three or 5 minutes while James murders his noodles.
So did you guys watch the Puppy Bowl?
No, I was working, but I actually got off early due to...
So you didn't watch the Puppy Bowl on
That was
phone?
My answer.
Because you could watch it on your phone, just tune in at animalplanetgo.com.
It's on Animal Planet?
Yeah.
All right, well...
If it's free, then how are they paying the puppies?
Is it slave labor?
Puppies
are they're all interns? Are they all interns or something?
The dogs in the Puppy Bowl are up for adoption. You go to animalplanet.com/adopt, and then you can adopt the cutest dogs from Team Ruff or Team Fluff.
I would think that would be so hard because it would be like they're stars already. Like, you can't keep up with that.
Yeah, like, this might be a little underhanded, but I've got a ton of money on Team Fluff. So I adopted the best player
from Team Ruff.
Ruff and
before the game
totally
started
their game. And then I got all my adoption money back.
Oh, jeez. That's playing your cards right.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Not,
I run the ring, dude.
That's
I
not
fetch the ring.
That's not thinking hard. That's thinking smart right there.
Mm-hmm. This old dog can learn a few new tricks.
All right, I'm gonna discuss. I'm gonna slurp some noodles. You guys tell me all about Super Bowl.
I think the craziest. So then, after the Puppy Bowl happened, humans tried to do the same thing, and it didn't really work out well, in my opinion.
Reenactment of the Puppy Bowl was so much sweatier and
less adorable in every way, pretty much every way. Sharon, did you see the Super Bowl or know anything about
it? I was at work. I popped into the break room about halfway through. I saw Lady Gaga in her space suit, and I saw that the Falcons were winning 21-0, which is a lot in football. That's hard to come back. But obviously the Patriots did win in the end. I don't watch football at all, and I don't know anything about it, although I do know that the Patriots are, like,
cheaters.
They win a lot.
They're cheaters, and they win a lot, yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of, like, the best. So, like, to me, that, as, like, a passerby, that's instantly, like, oh, the villains, you know, the Giants. I hope they get taken down.
Yeah.
By
if
these
it were
other
an anime,
guys.
If yeah. it were an anime, this would have happened in reverse.
Yeah, yeah, it would have had to.
Yeah, see, like, so I was, I guess, like, very casually, like, oh, I guess I hope the Falcons win.
Yeah, I obviously don't care about football because I'm just all video games. And boats. Video games
and
boats
are
my things.
I heard it was kind of an anticlimactic ending because of the way overtime
that's
works.
That is what I'm going to talk about, man. That's that makes me think that they've been playing this sport for however long. Like, it wasn't around turn of the century or whatever. So they've been playing this sport for like hundreds of 100 years or something. But at some point, they've been playing
hundreds
it for a long time.
Years,
hundreds
dude.
Of years, is that true? Because only America cares about this one. I don't know about this one. I want to say that it's been around for like... I kept seeing LI, Super Bowl LI, which made me think
like
Super Bowl Long Island.
Right?
Is it 51? That sounds right, maybe. So there's been 51 years or whatever of this sport, and I think objectively, even if you like the sport, they didn't figure it out yet, did they? Because it blows my mind that overtime, oh my god, no Super Bowl has ever gone into overtime. What do we do? Okay, so now we do a coin toss, and whoever has it gets the ball. Like, in football, if the teams are pretty evenly matched, then, like, basically one team runs the ball up and gets a touchdown, and then it goes to the other team, and then they run the ball up and get a touchdown, you know? Like, then the wild cards are those fumbles or those interceptions. But, how insane is it that all they needed to play was, like, not crazy? It was, like, just play solid. Don't make any wild plays that are desperate that could give the ball up. Just, like, throw to the most open people. Just get yardage. And they did. And then they just win. Like, it's sudden death. It's crazy because it's 15 minutes, and they scored with 11 minutes left on the clock, and it was over. It was over like that, and it was, like, such an uncomfortable, weird feeling where it was like, is that it? So the Falcons, this team that doesn't win that much, I assume, versus the team that wins, like, every year and also cheats.
They won five. They've won five Super Bowls, but I think they've been in some other ones or something. Yeah, it's weird how it's like, yeah, it's like, oh, it's such a, like, imagine the intensity of feeling, no matter who you're rooting for as you're approaching, like, the climax of the Patriots comeback.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's, like, ready to boil over, and then there's just, like, this little, like, fart, and then the game is over.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, it's really coming to a head. Like, it's about to blow. And
I can't believe they tied. That's never happened in Super Bowl history. What do we do now? Figure out who wins with a coin toss. Like,
who has a coin?
NFL, Blizzard figured it out in one season.
It's like Overwatch.
Blizzard figured it out in a single season. They were like, hey, you know what? Coin tosses are horse shit. So we took them out of the game, and we found a better way to do it. Why can't you do it like attack defend maps and payload maps? It's football is basically a payload, right? It's the ball is the payload, and the players are the heroes, the Overwatch heroes, because I have to think about things in these terms. And they you get the payload as far as possible, and if you get it to the end, then it's end of the round, and then you give it over, right? Like, we figured out how to do it already. Blizzard they should go in there and be like, hey, NFL, we did that our first season, and it was a horrible idea, and our players hated it, and everyone made fun of coin tosses deciding the end of the game. So we took it out, and we made a better thing, and now no one talks about it. But you guys, you got 51 of these seasons under your belt, and you never thought this would happen?
I wonder if people like that or not.
I hate it. Okay with it. I was annoyed. I don't care about football either. I don't care about football or Tom Brady or whatever. But even then, I do care. If I'm gonna watch the big game ever, then I don't want to watch the team that wins all the time get another one, and then they also win in the most weird anticlimactic way, where they're so far behind, and oh my god, now the game is getting insane, and they might be able to close in on it, and then if they do this, they're gonna tie, and then they tied, and then the game's over. Now what do we do? Coin flip. Oh, oops, you guessed wrong. That's it.
Yeah. Do you think that happens in Yeah, okay, actually, I have two things that are video game related, bringing this back to video games. I saw a tweet from Monte Cristo. Pastor for League of Legends, mostly for Korean. Yeah. But he generally is he's okay. He's not my favorite guy, but...
I like him.
He takes himself and esports very seriously.
Yes.
And he shared an article that was about football, about how people think that they want a close game or a comeback, but what people really appreciate later and look back on and really remember is a blowout, the kind of game that sets a record or crowns a new champion. Someone who really crushed it. And I started thinking about that a lot over the past 2 days, because I was thinking, oh, the Falcons, it's a blowout, everyone's going to be as long as there's some competition, people might be really excited. Oh, the Patriots were taken down. The best team really was the best, and they won, and they took down the former champs, and it's awesome. But maybe that could be boring too. If you're kind of thinking oh, this game's 3 hours long, but it's been over since the first half hour or whatever. And I was thinking about I watch a lot of professional League of Legends. I don't watch any other esports, but I was trying to remember what were my favorite matches? Do I like when it's a stomp? Do I like when it's, I think I like when it's close at first, and then as the game ramps up towards the midpoint, one team just starts kind of pulling it together and crushing it. Because it's similar in League, where all of the suspense and all of the rising action towards the point where the game, towards the winning, when the game ends,
the Nexus explosion
is great. But then it's such a, again, it can be such a wet fart, when somebody just makes a mistake, or it's just somebody they messed up at Baron and now it's over, I guess. All the back and forth was the exciting part, but then it's kind of for some reason this team won.
Oh, so even though they weren't winning. So are you trying to say that you like a controlled game? You like a game that's they're winning and they look like they're really going to win because they're playing.
I like a certain amount of closeness at first to generate excitement, and then I like a team to just take it away.
I think that what you like is a game that's won by playing well instead of by another team playing poorly. In League, so much of the game is determined by mistakes, especially in American League of Legends, as opposed to being determined by clever plays.
Yeah, I also like a definitive win.
Yeah, one that really says this team was better at this moment, and not capitalized on the other team's horrible Baron play.
Yeah. And I don't know. I wonder how that applies to winning other things. I started thinking about other competitive games. What do I like more? Are we having more fun in Overwatch when we clinch an overtime, or do we walking the payload? Do we like that 100% point capture to zero?
Both are pretty fun. We had that game recently where we were on Mystery Heroes. And we got a weirdly perfect comp, and I got Bastion, and we did a protect the Bastion comp on the payload. So we were on Eichenwald, I was Bastion turreted on top of the payload, classic day one Overwatch, but in Mystery Heroes, so they couldn't really play around it as well. So we had a Reinhardt plus a Mercy, and me, and I that was fun for me, at least, because we literally just walked the payload all the way from the point capture to the end of the game while I just, like, just mopped up everyone, and I didn't die, and that was sick. But also, I have had amazing moments in Overwatch in overtime. Like, one of the best things about Overwatch, any of their modes, I guess, is that it's usually not just over. Like, if you're still playing the game, then there's a chance you can come back, install, and then get back in the game. So I feel like those are pretty equally as memorable, like, games where you're, like, I don't think I dislike the games where the enemy gets 99 and we get the point back, and then we do 0 to 100, and it's, like, desperate or whatever, and very cool. I guess, like,
if you win, it's cool.
If you win, it's cool. It really sucks when you have 99 and then the enemy takes the point and then you never get back on, and it's like, that's
pretty bummer. Well, you're 1 meter away from the last payload point, and it's overtime, and they stop you, and you're just like, what? Like, we won, like, the first, like, mile walk, and then we couldn't take the last step.
Yeah.
It's a real bummer. But Overwatch games are also, you know, they're 15 minutes long. They're not 3 hours. So
yeah.
It is a little bit easier to just, like, the Super Bowl is, like, that peak part of the year for the whole sport, the biggest sport in North America.
I kind of like how
this Super Bowl could have just been 8 minutes long, and it would have featured all the action.
Yeah, technically the real Super Bowl happened after the coin toss, because that was the only thing that mattered.
Do you think it really invalidates that? It's not about the journey, the tug and the pull, and
I mean, I hear footballers and football fans really happy with the game, and it being, like, unprecedented, and, you know, Tom Brady is the first quarterback to have 5 of the Vince Lombardi trophies. So there's exciting stuff there, but the coin toss is horseshit, because who's to say that if the Falcons didn't win the coin toss, that they wouldn't have just ran the ball up and then gotten the final touchdown? And I think that would have been even more exciting, because then it would be like, yeah, the Patriots got there again this year. Who cares? Like, they're a good team. We get it. They show up a lot at the Super Bowl. Tom Brady's pretty good.
Yeah.
You guys, what'd you guys think of those commercials?
They sucked. They absolutely sucked this year. That's what it's
all about. Oh, man, no, there were some amazing commercials, and you are outrageously wrong.
I couldn't experience them just because I only caught, like, half an hour.
I noticed a lot of the commercials repeating. I noticed a lot of the commercials. I have seen them before. Like, there was the Verizon commercial where, what?
Okay, so the only time that commercials repeated was overtime, because they weren't planning for those things. All the other commercials were new.
I thought I saw commercials. I definitely saw the Verizon commercial twice during the game, not during overtime.
What Verizon commercial?
The one where it's the guy, it has the dummy in a car, and then he pushes the car off, and he says, your dad's dead, kids. And then he's trying to get out of the phone contract, and then the old or whatever guy is like, hey, you didn't need to do that. You could just get, like, a new contract over here.
I saw the Kristen Schaal T-Mobile commercials, which I thought were pretty good. And also Stranger Things Season 2 trailer, maybe the best part of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen Stranger Things, and I saw that, and that's really neat.
Were there Nintendo Switch commercials?
There was a Nintendo Switch commercial.
Was it good?
It was good. It was all about Breath of the Wild.
Did they also say at the end, by the way, you can't have this?
Yeah, that's what pissed me off when I heard that.
Try and buy this tonight, Capital.
No, they just said coming soon, but it doesn't matter, because they need to make people aware of their brand. I also heard that in terms of Google Analytics, people have searched for pre-order Nintendo Switch 5 times more than they searched for Wii U pre-order.
Okay.
Oh my God.
That Wii U specifically?
Yes.
That is a near meaningless statistic.
Why is that?
Because the Wii U sucked and sucks and continues to suck.
Yeah, so we want to see the Switch.
Isn't that a
5 times more champion?
Like, I think it would be more impressive if it was, like, related to a console that has done anything for itself. Like, if that were true for Xbox One, PS4, Wii, GameCube, anything that we had a precedent, like to say that it's better than their last console, which is the lowest bar
to
clear.
It's not to say anything. It's to say that people care more about it than their last console already.
Yeah, man. Switch is going to
Well, it's good because people thought that
Wii
U was an addition to Wii, so.
Cartridge.
And so I don't know about you guys, but I've been having some dilemmas related to this whole non-availability of Nintendo Switch.
That is still getting me angry. And it does get me angry, actually, when I see that they're doing the Super Bowl things. Like, make more of them. Come on. What are you doing?
They're already trying to. They're trying to get another... They have 2 million consoles in production now, and then they're trying to get another 1 million consoles out within the first 2 weeks of release. So they're trying to put them out there, but, I mean...
That's hurtful.
It might not be as easy as just wanting them to have more.
That's hurtful.
But the extreme dilemma comes from the fact that, I mean, me and also you and a lot of other people own the Wii U and want to play Zelda when it comes out. So what's the answer? Is the answer to...
Wait and get a Switch or...
Is it to play it on the Wii U because you want to play Zelda the day that it comes out? And apparently the game has the same frame rate on both, and the only difference is the way that the textures look, the way that the sounds work, and the resolution. Or do you just hunker down and wait to play the best experience of that Zelda game?
Yeah. I think I would
you
wait.
Know what? I actually
remember.
I actually remember in a previous podcast, you thought that. Previous on the last episode of WTDG Games. We find James sitting at home talking about the Switch.
I want a Switch!
Closely. I'm listening. We cut to a battle between the Wii U and the Switch. The Switch claims 60 frames per second, 1080p.
Yeah, I thought Breath of the Wild on Wii
U. 30 frames, 720. But actually, it was like a lot closer. I saw some stats like after we did that episode, I think on Polygon. And yeah, like James, I feel like you just corrected yourself or like, read about it or whatever. They don't sound that different. Like, it definitely sounds like it's a little better on the Switch. Like, there's no way that I would even a month of Breath of the Wild being out, I wouldn't cave and get it on Wii U. I mean, not that I can, but I don't see why you would settle. I just don't understand why.
I don't need to get a Switch for any other game in the near future.
But aren't you definitely going to get one eventually?
And I
then
am.
Aren't you gonna think like, why didn't I play Zelda on that? You'll be like, maybe you won't do it. You probably won't. But
Zelda,
wouldn't you kind of
maybe
think
Zelda
like,
would be
replayable?
Maybe it'll be good enough to play twice. Who knows? Probably not. But
it sounds
knows?
Really long. It's probably really long though. Like play twice. That I don't have time to play anything.
I played Twilight Princess twice, and that game's like long, dude.
Yeah, but I actually decided to just get it on the Wii U. I took the day off of work. I called in a pre-order, and I pre-ordered it at this mom-and-pop shop that famously releases things early.
What did you do for the rest of the day after that phone call?
I worked.
Oh, cool. Wii U, huh? All right. Well, I mean, you do like to be on the cutting edge.
So I guess...
I like to be on the cutting floor. Rolling around.
I'm going to spoil all of it. I'm going to say, hey, you guys are going to go to this dungeon, and you're going to pick up a plus one sort of burning, and it's going to be great because you're going to need to burn down those Deku shooters.
Oh my god, if that game brings up some like totally basic shit the way that Skyward Sword did with like, oh, it's this guy, the final boss is this guy that you've never heard of in any other Zelda game, including this one up until now, and he's a cool fiery representation of evil, so you gotta kill him.
But how many times have they done that? Was like mainly Twilight Princess, right?
That was Skyward Sword.
Oh yeah, that was mainly Skyward.
At least Ganondorf and Ganon, who is the same thing, like the symbol, the manifestation of the power portion of the Triforce, and a representation of, you know, evil and power, like taken to the extreme, is like a face and character that they've built up over time. In Skyward Sword, maybe you don't even remember, but they just like pull out this guy named Demise out
of
nowhere.
No, of course I remember.
He's supposed to like, he looks like Akuma or something, and you're just like,
yeah,
who is this guy? Well, I guess I hate this guy because I'm good and he's bad. It's like, it's weird. It feels like nothing.
The guy,
he contributes nothing to the lore or the story at all.
He's like inside of that weird monster that you break its toes, that like you fight it like three times.
No, not that thing.
But he is that. Do you remember? Oh. He is that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like but that thing gets like end, unsealed and becomes that cool guy.
Well, I'll let you guys know if that happens. I'll rush to the end of the game and I'll say, it was Zelda's the bad guy this time.
Zeldorf.
Zelda's the guy.
You have to save Ganon.
Ganda.
Dark Zelda. She's a bad bitch.
I'll be like, it turns out there's an online component. Nobody knew about it. You invade other people's worlds. But the world is so big and expansive, and they put you in randomly, and then you have to go find them. And if the visiting player, if the home player walks into a dungeon, you get kicked out. So when people invade, they're across the world, and you have to go find them. But then you get kicked out because Nintendo didn't think about it.
All you can do is shout "Hey" at them.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Also, that's the real
bother
thing.
Bother them with your botherang. Your Kokiri Botherang, it's
that's
an online item only, where you just, you poke someone with a little foam boomerang. There's no violence. And also you can break the dishes in their house.
That would be the most fun Zelda, is a Zelda where you get to build, like, your own home base, and it has guards and stuff around it, and if enemies can make it past the guards, they get in and they break all your fine china that you've been saving up.
Ooh, what kind of wild enemy do you think that you would try to domesticate as a
moblins? Moblins, lots of moblins.
That's kind of
horses.
Like owning a dirty pig.
It is exactly Cuckoos. That. But they usually but moblins are like dirty pigs that have spears though.
What about Kukos?
I mean, Kukos are passive until it would have to be like
that they're just based on earth chickens.
The thing about earth chickens and the difference with Kukos that's important is that if you swipe a sword at an earth chicken, it becomes a chicken nugget. And if you swipe a sword at a Kuko, then a million of them fly out from the sides of the screen where they weren't existing and they kill you.
If you bring a sword into a Burger King, they'll give you a million chicken nuggets.
And did you guys hear
you are the Burger King.
There was this whole petition that was funded by Donald Trump supporters online.
Jesus Christ.
For the new Zelda, and it passed. And now, whenever you hit the cuckoos and it summons a fleet of them, the words "cucked" appear in giant letters across the screen.
All the cuckoos are little Pepe the Frogs, and they're
triggered because I see.
You know
so many online petitions every day regarding politics, and I know that none of them matter.
Yeah, like I remember, like,
if you share this on Facebook, our country will fix itself.
Nah, definitely won't.
Yeah.
So, video games, right, guys? Have you guys been playing anything?
Playing Final Fantasy 14.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I only played Overwatch this week, and my luck with the Chinese New Year boxes has been abysmal. I've gotten one skin, and I've probably opened 20 boxes, and I've gotten the Anna skin, and that is it.
Do you have any Overwatch skrill?
Oh, I mean, I'm thinking about buying some boxes, but, like, I'm going to wait until, like, you know, towards the end of the event.
Yeah, but what about in-game currency? What do you say?
That's what I just said. That's what I'm saying.
I'm sitting on, like, 2,600.
So you can get something.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, I don't know. The events are coming out a little too fast, actually. Ugh, is that
not
weird
for me.
To say?
Not for me.
You love dropping cash, man.
Oh, I do.
Boxes.
Yeah, man.
But, yeah, that game is still, I think it's still fun. I watched LCS, too, a good amount of it. I think, I don't know, League is so relaxing to watch. Like,
yeah.
I just... love, honestly, I also realized, like, I just love hearing Jat, the caster Jat, talk.
Yes.
And I love, even though I realized, like, oh, I love this team, and then I was like, wait, four of these people are new, but I love them anyways, you know.
I really like FlyQuest.
It's been such a good, it's been a great
split, yeah,
split so far. I love the new format with five bands instead of three.
Ten.
Yeah, you do still settle into certain characters that you see all the time, but I think there's been a pretty good variety.
Yeah, except ADC is like, I think it's what, Varus, Ashe, and Jhin.
It's also really sad that Camille, one of the newest character in League, Camille, she has been said to be, even by the casters, they're just like, oh, Camille is overpowered. Like,
well,
they'll just say it, you know, like, these are employees of the company that made the game, and they're like, yeah, this character is really unfair. If she doesn't get picked or banned, that's insane. Also, she can play in every single lane and just be good. Like, which is weird.
It's just because of how good she is.
That's the kind of thing that annoys me, though, about League a little bit. They should know that. I mean, I know that there are like infinite factors to balance in a video game, but if you release a new character and she is the best character no matter what in every match and she needs to be picked or banned, and not only can she be top lane, but she can be mid lane and she can be jungle and she can be support because now supports can build damage and get a lot of gold. It's just like, why did you not play her? Or
I mean, they don't really
Is it a business decision behind the scenes?
Nah.
Where they make someone so good that they then sell her character and her skins?
You can't say initially. That with all the really weak characters that have come out. Like, it's pretty much 50. Like, characters fall all over the spectrum in the last couple of years. Like, before Camille being super broken, the last one I remember being like so insanely out of control was maybe like Zyra when I first started, where she was a absolute like.
Camille was very strong for a little bit. I thought she was a good character release. People learned to play her. She became prioritized, but never number one. She didn't really fall off. That was a pretty smart.
Who?
Talia.
Oh yeah.
She was never broke. She's not broken though. Like so insanely broken, and she definitely didn't come out even good. She had to be tuned.
So why do they mess it up? Like, how do they mess it up with Camille? You watch a game with her in it, and it's so dumb.
I think it's because Camille came out at the time of the Assassin rework and the time that like they were in the midst of reworking items. So just those two things happening at once maybe caused some problems.
I guess so, yeah. It's just weird that she could like launch herself across two screens and kill anyone.
It's Marvel, baby.
Have you guys played with her yet or any really?
I haven't played League since she came out.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm sure I would be terrible at her.
Final Fantasy is my MMO right now, as opposed to League.
Can you tell me about it? I play so much of it, so I know about it.
So as a scholar, so I started as an Arcanist, you know, so I'm summoning. I've got this little pet, and the little pet deals some damage. I can control the pet independently from me. So I've kind of got, like, you know, two sets of cooldowns going on. And then I become a scholar, which is pretty much the same thing, but with healing. And the storyline for it is really cool, where you are I think that they make it out so that you're like the only person who understands the art of the scholars, which, by the way, that story doesn't really pan out when you're in a world populated by thousands and thousands of scholars. But you are going through all of these old ruins and trying to teach your summoned pets, like you're trying to get them to remember things about the old world. And when you go through the missions and you teach them about the old world, they impart you with the knowledge of the scholar, and that's how you get your new moves.
Yeah.
And recently I hit level 45 and I got a full gear set, and it works in the same way, where you find all of these remnants of the old scholars and you bring it to the best craftsmen across the world, and they all give you a different piece of your gear. Very, very cool.
Huh, I wish that kind of happened in real life. I wish I could just demonstrate some of my smooth moves and be imparted with the knowledge
of smooth.
Of a PhD.
Yeah.
I think that's possible.
I really like the way that
Final Fantasy moves are, but that's illegal. That could come back to bite me. I have dignity.
I really do like the way that Final Fantasy handles class stuff. Like, no, a lot of games try and do that you're the only one. And I think it's a little bit better in Final Fantasy because especially the main story stuff focuses on you being the only one, and it's fine because you can play it like it's a single player game half the time, at least until endgame. So when you're doing the solo stuff, like, it's fine that you're the only scholar. And I really do like the focus on class stuff, that you get these like class quests at every five levels, and they're all about like thematically the class and getting weapons and armor for the class and learning abilities by completing trials and stuff that's based on the class. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm into it. Also, they have a dungeon that's extremely reminiscent of Demon Souls. I don't know if you remember this dungeon. Well, you must, but it's pretty much the Dragon Keep.
Yeah. Is it the icy one?
I guess so, where you fight the dragon who, like, with the cannons and stuff, and who makes tornadoes.
Yeah, I think we're thinking of the same one. It's like this icy, rundown, dragon-infested castle, and
reminds me of the first level of Demon Souls.
A little bit. And then there's that first boss is like that dragon with no wings that charges you, and the second one, I think we are talking about the same one, because the second one you have to like shoot one of the dragons down with cannons, and then the other main dragon is like tanked near the beginning of the room, and then the final dragon is like an ice dragon that keeps jumping up into the air and like destroying and like laying down ice breath and stuff. Yeah, everything, a lot of stuff. Some of the current endgame stuff is very Demon Souls. I have like a basically like Artorias set where it's like silver armor that has a torn up cape that is on like one side of my body, which does really remind me of Artorias, especially when I'm using like a two hand sword, as a Dark Knight. Like, it looks very Artorias.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So my subscription for the game is up in 5 days. I don't know if I'm going to renew yet, because I do want to check out Elder Scrolls Online because of the new Morrowind expansion that's coming out for it.
When is that?
But it is actually June, so same as Stormblood.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the meantime, let me tell you that for less than the price of a month of Final Fantasy XIV, you can buy Black Desert Online.
That's not true.
Well, that's actually the same amount of... I paid less than a month of Final Fantasy XIV to get Elder Scrolls.
Black Desert Online is like $15 now to buy?
One of my coworkers came to me and said that they were playing Black Desert Online, and we had a long conversation about my experience and his experience with it. And I was like, yeah, but like $40. And he's like, no, dude, I paid 10. He's like, 40 is if you want extra inventory space. There's a $10 version. And I was like... What? I was very intrigued for about 45 seconds.
They also have that like entry level Final Fantasy where it's like you only get one character, and it's like, good, because one character is all I need. Why would I pay for more characters?
True.
Yeah. But let's not bring back Black Desert.
So in Elder Scrolls Online, you actually start off as someone who is dead. You have been
hollowed?
Imprisoned. You've been imprisoned by Molag Bal, who is a Daedric deity in the Elder Scrolls lore. And then you're rescued from this prison and you fall out of the sky.
It's like Dark Souls.
Yeah, into the world. And then they're like, all right, well, that's it. That's our main storyline. Go do whatever you want.
And you land in a high school where you're the cutest zombie boy in class.
But no, but you don't really know. But you don't really know that you're the cutest.
Oh. You're just regular, and that's the thing.
But all the girls like really like
about you.
It's there's something about you. You have a je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
I think the Japanese for that is a kawaii, or it's oishi.
What was the newest video game that you played, Kirby?
I played a bunch of video games this week. I played, I think most specifically, Gravity Rush 2. I played...
Isn't that an old video game?
No, Gravity Rush 2 is very new. Gravity Rush is an old video game. But Gravity Rush was a PS Vita game that I didn't get, even though I thought it looked interesting because it was on PS Vita. And then they remastered it, but then it was on I think they remastered it on PS3, I want to say. And they might have done it also a remaster for PS4. Maybe I'm totally crazy and it was only for PS4. But I never ended up getting that because the remaster had come out, I think, pretty close to like when Gravity Rush 2 was on the horizon. So I figured, like, let me get the hot Gravity Rush 2. So Gravity Rush 2 takes off immediately where Gravity Rush left off, which is incredibly confusing because there seems to be a lot going on in this world that I don't know about logistically. So like there's no ground on the planet, I think, and there are gravity storms. So the people on the planet basically live in, there are towns and cities, but it's all floating in the air. So like one of the first areas you're in is this area of all these, this like hobo ramshackle town where it's all these little wooden flying boats that are all kind of tethered together to create a settlement. And then pretty early on you go to like a more major town that is like this like beautiful like an almost Italian looking floating city, and then beneath it you can fall like you can just fall thousands of feet to the ground, to not the ground, but there's like a hobo set, there's like a different dirty hobo settlement with lots of pigs running around. It's all these like floating little islands in the sky made of mud. And story-wise, I don't really, it's hard to explain what is seriously going on. I guess you play as this girl Cat that is has this power, this cat, her name is Cat, K-A-T, but she's followed by this ethereal cat named Dusty, and Dusty gives her powers to manipulate gravity. And it is, so the main way that you kind of interact with the game, that you move around or whatever, is that R1 unhinges you from gravity, and then you can look in a direction, and then R1 again will make it so that that way is the ground, so you'll just start falling in that direction. So you could use it to like fly around really quickly by just unhinging gravity and then flying in one direction, stopping, and then finding a new direction to fly in, to fall in, basically, because it's awesome. The animation for it is so sick. She doesn't fly with grace, really. She kind of just falls. So she just like looks like she's just been tossed out of a jet and is just falling to the ground. But
like the way that Sonic falls to the ground from the airplane in Sonic Adventure 2 Battle in the first level of Cityscape.
It's exactly like that, pretty much. So
does a pop song start playing at the opening scene?
Rolling around like, with the speed of sound. Heels,
yeah. Head in the clouds. I got a gravity crush on you. Dizzying feeling.
Got places to be. Gotta follow my heart. Yeah.
To you.
So no, that doesn't happen. Actually, the music is very good.
And then the
guitar. The music is very good. Actually, it's kind of like Mario Sunshiny. It like it almost like looks a little bit like awesome. Mario Sunshiny, and the music is very like accordion and folky and like cheerful usually. But the gameplay, like what you're doing, is generally pretty great. But what they have you doing seems like busy work a lot of times, weirdly enough. At least early on in the first couple hours, like there is fighting, and even explaining this, I think you could kind of understand why this is pretty neat. Like one of the first things you fight is like this enemy, that this large, like dark enemy, this like congealed mass of gravity, and it has eyes all around it that obviously you gotta fly into and kick, right? So the way you're playing it is like you're unhinging gravity, falling behind it, turning around, falling, and then like dive kicking into one of its eyes. Then it swings and you like fall out of the swing What?
You mean exactly like the final boss of Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, Biohazard, where you're flying through space kicking its eyes?
That's not what it's called. Is it called Biohazard?
Yeah, man. Come on, dude. What? This Gravity Rush game sounds like a ripoff.
Apparently it is a lot like Sonic Adventure 2.
But go on.
But yeah, early on it's like the gameplay is pretty good. There's lots of like the way you interact with it is really fun. Moving around is super fun, obviously. Flying around, you move so fast, which is good and bad. Like it feels cool to have that much control over it, but when you're moving at like you move at such an incredible speed that like you can imagine times where like you're flying to kick some enemy, and if they move out of the way, then you fly like a good like mile or two past them, have to stop, turn around, like reorient, and then find them and then fly towards them again. So like it can be a little unwieldy, and the camera's not always good. There was this one part that like kind of was a cool segment where I'm like beating up all these dudes, and but it was in this air is in this like really small area where the ceiling was pretty low, so like with the movement you have, like you can only go like pretty much super fast, but it's still neat. You can that like the gravity powers feel great, like other than being able to reorient gravity, you can just pick up anything around you and toss it like telekinetically. You can slide on any surface, just make it so that like the surface is automatically tilted down so that you could just like slide really quickly. There's lots of cool stuff you could do. It's a pretty neat game and like very neat visually, but it's hard to like say that I'm loving it, because in the first couple hours, like you're doing all this stuff where it's like super busy work, but your abilities are so cool. So like it doesn't sound good, and nor does it always seem very like it's not.
What do you mean by busy work?
So like I went to this big floating city, and the settlement that I was talking about, like they're all kind of like docked up, they are like, well, it's going to take a little while to get our gravity engines together and all fixed, so you can just go around town and do whatever you want. So I'm like going around town, but the stuff you do is like legitimately like you find a newspaper guy, and he's like, oh, a journalist, I guess, he's like, I can't sell my newspapers because my old newspaper boy quit. What am I gonna do? And then Kat's like, I can help you out. So then you're flying through the town and using your telekinetic powers to like toss newspapers to people. So there's like, so you can think of like these multi-storied, like 10 stories of these massive sky rises, and there's people out on their balconies like looking at you for that paper. For all that fake news, and you're flying about like rapidly tossing telekinetically tossing newspapers at them, but like like it feels like kind of fun to control while you're doing it, but then the whole time you're like, really? Like it's like there's not a real sense of urgency here, and nor does it feel like this is the best use of my gravity powers, right?
That sounds bad, man.
But like the game has been mostly that, weirdly enough. Like there's a lot of like the people who live, like they use this ore that they mine for their engines, for their gravity engines or whatever. They're like anti gravity engines. So like a lot of the early stuff in the very beginning is like you're gonna go down.
Anti-gravers.
Yeah, you're gonna go down to like the underworld, basically, where there's all this ore and gonna kick it and it explodes, and then little ore shards fly into you and you gotta get enough and like, oh no, there's some enemies, clear them out, and then mine the island of all its ore. So like you're doing that stuff, and then when I got there, I'm doing this thing where I'm the newspaper girl, and then after that they said you gotta go meet one of the, well, like we can't find like Gramps, I don't know where Gramps went. So you have to go to town and meet him, but for whatever weird reason, he's like working at a shop, like selling like, I guess a halal food or something. And he's like, "Hey, I took over this shop for my friend because we've been friends for a long time. But I gotta go to the bathroom. So can you cover the shop for a little while? So like you're working at the shop and Kat's like, hey, nobody's stopping by. I should use my emotes to get people really interested and advertise. So you're just sitting there spamming like wave and greet and handshake and blow kiss.
How long does it take to go to the bathroom in a world that doesn't have gravity? I mean,
a long time.
I'm saying watch it flow, watch it go, baby.
That's the issue. That's why it took so long. But yeah, like it's not like it's weird because the world in itself is like actually pretty Miyazaki. It's gorgeous. It runs beautiful. Like it is super smooth, even when with all the physics that it has going on, and feels great to play. And like even it's one of those like the first moment you have the controls, you basically it's just so intuitive that it feels great to be able to reorient gravity and fly around super fast and telekinetically pick stuff up. And like fighting feels pretty good, but everything just goes on a little bit too long, like just a little bit too long. Like just like the newspaper thing goes on a little bit too long, where by the end of it, it's like, oh, that was pretty interesting. That's a cool use of Kat's powers. But I think that was like a 15-minute thing. And like, it was newspapers. Like it wasn't like, even if it were like, it's weird to say because it's like, what's the difference between that and like they're enemies and you got to kill them in a time attack? Like,
do people not have the internet in this world? Why are they reading newspapers?
I don't think there's any internet. It's like it's like semi post apocalyptic.
How old is your character?
Very young.
How old is Kat?
I don't know. I don't have a direct age on her, but she's
in her first job. You think?
The time where she literally says it's her first job.
Trying to get that summer money.
Yeah, the time where you're doing the newspaper, she's like, "This is my first job."
What does she wear?
This really cool like black like almost leotard that has like gold jewelry around it. I don't even know what you'd call it. Like,
is it characteristic of like what the other people wear, or does she stand out?
No, she stands out really. Other people just wear like hobo clothes. Like other people just wear like rags, and she wears like this like black and gold suit thing that is really sick.
Is there any political commentary with anti-graffers saying that gravity melted their children's brains by pushing them down?
What, that climate change is real the entire time, and that the oceans
I was thinking about anti-vaxxers as anti-graffers.
Yeah, the Zobber lords.
Oh, I don't let my children step in any building with gravity. Gravity brings you down.
That's how they would talk to. It's not like
that would be pretty good propaganda.
It's like it's hard to say because it's like every shot of it is and every moment of it is so gorgeous and it looks great and it's very Miyazaki-esque and it's fun to control,
like,
but
kind of like just known enough series. That's like this like shining like 7.5 out of 10.
It's totally like, that, right?
Like half a sleeper hit. Where it's like, it's totally that. If you played this, you're going to be so into it. But if you didn't, then like whatever, you probably just never even heard about it.
Yeah, it feels like the kind of game where
tight little like it's got like just enough going for it and just enough against it that like it's a nice like it sounds like a nice play.
It's a so game
is
where
a $60 game.
Yeah, it's a game where ooh. where it's like there's gonna be people out there that this is the coolest thing in the world for them, and I totally get it. It's not they're not wrong. They're not weird for it. Like it could be relaxing to them, and it's fun to control, and it's almost like the best superhero game that's ever come out. I guess in my opinion, like if you like. There's a lot of games where like open world games especially where you can play the game based on how much you like controlling it, like Crackdown or Saints Row or something where like half the game isn't even that like they're making
Just Cause.
You yeah sure Just Cause is a good example where
you're just freestyle flying around yeah having a sweet time
yeah like you like half the game is just that the control of it is so fun that like to chill out and be like this superhero that you're walking around town and then you just suddenly unhinge yourself from gravity and like fall into the sky basically, and it looks so sick, and like when you're doing stuff it feels pretty cool, but that that like it's not all there, that it's a little slow moving, that the stuff they have you do feels like busy work, and it doesn't feel like there's a cohesive like plot or anything that I'm like currently like the current story of it really is just like you lost your powers at the end of Gravity Rush 1 for some reason, I don't know, and I don't know the characters at all or like what led up to this happening, but Kat like loses her powers, gets basically like picked up and like saved by this settlement that goes around in like this mining settlement that I was talking about, and they use her as a slave for a little while to be like a mining miner for a little bit, and then she gets her powers back, and then you're kind of helping out in bigger ways because now you can fly around, you can like say like the people are attacked by these scarabs, and you can like save the miners from the attacks or whatever, and then so then you're doing that for a little bit, and then you go to this city that I'm talking about, this giant floating city where they're trying to like sell all the mining goods and make enough money to like get food to live through the year, but there's no real like setup of like what's happening next. Is there a thing, is there a goal we're working towards, like is there any intrigue, is there anything that would that it's like, oh, I really want to see what happens to this character, or I really want to see why that happened. Like, there's nothing like that yet, so that's kind of weird in the first couple hours to not have a thing that's like, there's a burning question I want to answer, or I want to be able to kill the main bad guy because he's making so much bad in the world. I want to bring happiness to all these characters. Like, it's nothing like that. It's really just like chillaxing. You're flying around, throwing newspapers with you. It's like, that's not the best use of your powers, but you're doing it anyway.
That's kind of how I feel when I'm at work too.
Yeah.
I just think it's weird that I didn't hear of this game, and this is a PS4 exclusive, huh?
Yeah.
There seems to be a lot of those floating around right now, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, especially if it went down, if it was like a $20, $30 thing when it goes down like later this year, it'd be like absolutely just
that'll happen.
Even if you got it and tried out like it would be either like I think that there's two things that happen with this game. Like really only two things. Either you try it out and you really like it for a couple hours and then you're like, okay, there's not enough intrigue, I don't like what I'm doing. But it was cool, and I liked controlling it, and that's really neat, and there's nothing else that plays like this game or looks like this game, so money well spent. Or I could imagine people just being like, this world, like, this is great. Like, I love the control, I love the setup, I love all these flying cities and boat worlds, and I love that they're like, yeah, you got to go down to the slums, and then you just jump off the side of this floating city and fall thousands of just miles and miles and land in this floating pig mud city and go ask people, have you seen these thugs?
It is really cool looking.
It's really cool looking.
Screenshots.
It's awesome. Gorgeous in motion. Like, it really is. It is a dream. It's so cool to control. Like, you get once you get your powers and you get them really, really early on, really just when they're working in concert, it is sick. Like, fighting bosses and being able to just fly around and telekinetically pick up things and throw them is just like super cool.
Are there
and you're
a lot
diving
of invisible walls.
No,
the screenshots on Google look so like deliciously dense. And,
it is
like,
massive. The areas
that,
are
like,
massive.
Really nice hand drawn look.
Yes.
You know, it's not, but
it's cel shaded-y ish a little bit.
It looks nice. Yeah.
But no, I have never encountered a death plane yet. I have never encountered an invisible
crashing
wall
into fruit stands and bothering people.
Yes, I have done that plenty of times. or like when you take your when you use your telekinetic ability around the town, or when you like when you unhinge gravity, like the area, like a stasis field happens around you. So like I didn't know what would happen, so I'm in the town, and then they're like, "Yeah, you got to go across town." So it's like, "Oh, of course, I'm not gonna run there. I'm gonna fly there." But when I hit the button, like this, it was actually a fruit cart. Like the fruit cart, like just broke apart.
It was a fruit cart.
The fruit cart broke apart, dissolved, and then there was all these like apples and oranges and bananas floating around in my stasis wake, and then the townspeople all suddenly start being like, whoa, whoa, and they're all staring at me, and then I just launch into the air with all their bananas and apples flying across town.
Yeah, I didn't even see that like on a screenshot, but I just knew. I was like, this town looks like it has fruit carts.
Oh, it totally does. Yeah, it's really cool. Like, it hasn't...
Is there an anime associated with this?
No.
Did they try to turn it into a comic book or not?
Not to my knowledge, no. I think it's a game first and foremost. So if there was a manga that came out after it, then I would assume...
Like a short one.
Yeah, that I would assume that's like a supplementary thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
But
you got anything else? Like, is there anything else like real fresh? Like anything? I mean, we're in February now. You know, this is our
first video games. Yeah, I mean, I'm so excited for so much stuff that's coming out.
Like, what's good in February? Like, are you guys looking at Neo?
I am totally looking at Neo. Yeah, I'm getting it.
There's a lot of stuff in March. I know, but like,
no, there's a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah, like what's...
For Honor comes out, and I'm actually pretty excited about For Honor.
Oh, open beta February 9th, and then it comes out the 14th.
Yeah, and I already played in the betas, and I thought that it played so well. And I also checked out a bit of Rainbow Six Siege this weekend, and man, that game is super tight. That game is so cool. That game is it's like Counter-Strike, but a little bit easier to understand, a little bit easier to play. And with MOBA-esque heroes, like hero classes.
That's nuts.
And I don't know if you know this, but it works on that League of Legends model of all the maps, everything that we come out with, that stuff is all free. The only thing that you're paying for is operators or the hero classes.
Is it on, it's on PC, it's on Steam, or is it on what,
it's on
Ubisoft?
PC, it is on Steam.
It's on Steam? I thought it would be on the Ubisoft garbage network.
It is. If you want, to play the free weekend, you needed to play on the garbage network. but at the same time, they were running a half off sale on both Steam and on Uplay. And currently, the aim right now is they're working on their competitive stuff. That game actually has a lot of money in it right now.
Yeah, so I hear.
Not Blizzard levels of money, but a lot of money. And their primary aim is they want to make 50 to 100 characters as soon as possible. So like their goal is just like they want to pump out new characters. And I've read some comments of people being like, I don't know how they could possibly create more characters. It seems like every time they create a new character, they're just bringing in the most wild ideas. And I think that I'm excited to see where that game goes. And it's one of the reasons why I'm excited with For Honor. Because they're running the same sort of thing, how maps and everything in the future are going to be free, and what you're paying for is those hero classes.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm going to totally jump in on that beta.
Do you guys think that we're getting to, like, okay, art, do you think that people, that art is like a right? Experiencing art, whether it's illustrative or music, books, any kind of art.
Is it a right?
That's like a human right.
Yeah,
it's a privilege.
Yeah.
You think so?
I think
it's a privilege.
In this day and age,
like,
it probably should be right.
You know, free galleries or just stuff. Like, you think it's still a privilege?
Yeah, I think it's a privilege.
You think it's a privilege in practice or in theory?
I think it's a privilege to have the time to be able to enjoy things.
But all people should have access to them if they have the time?
I suppose so, sure.
I started thinking about this because... And this is something that I won't really get into, but at work last night on Super Bowl Sunday, a family of 7 came into the store at close, and it was a husband and wife and like 5 kids. This is like 10 o'clock Sunday night. Someone said to me, "What's going on?" Because they were in my department getting a lot of olives. And I'm trying to clean up the area, you know.
Oh my god, I hate
and
them.
The guy's like, are you cleaning those up? You know, because I'm grabbing some spoons and stuff that people use to scoop olives and other kinds of like related like antipasta stuff. And I was grabbing stuff that was like, you know, not the most popular stuff, nothing that him or his family is standing near. I'm just kind of assuming like, oh, I can grab a few of these. Like it's a slow night. On Super Bowl Sunday after, you know, the game has started, like people aren't really shopping anymore past like 8 o'clock and now we're at 10 o'clock. So he says, "Are you cleaning up?" And I was like, yeah. I was like, "Do you need anything from this bar?" And he said, "I might." And I was like, damn. Okay.
Wow.
And then I get like a look from the person who's kind of being the whole store manager leader kind of person. You know, she's on duty. Sure. And I go to talk to her, and she's like, "What's going on with these people? What are they doing?" And I was like, "I don't know. They're just standing there getting so many olives." And she's like, "What's to do with these kids? What are they up to? Blah 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 blah." And I talked to a few people around the store, and they're like, "Oh, I recognize this guy. He comes in, you know, with his family, and they always come in late. And you know, the kids are here." And he's like, "They come at the beginning of the month because that's when they get their funds for EBT, like food stamps or welfare or whatever."
All right.
And like, I'm not going to get into a discussion about welfare or EBT or food stamps or whatever on the podcast. But in short, I'm cool. I'm totally cool with it. And you can do whatever you want. And if you need that, that's fine. Although I don't really appreciate anyone being, you know, rude to me or coming in when we're closed. And it is weird to splurge your government allowance on very overpriced, unnecessary items like
olives. Yeah, that's a weird place, like in Whole Foods, right?
And it did kind of, and at first when the boss was like, "Oh, like what are these kids doing out? Like this is weird." I was like, "Whatever." But then I was like, "Yeah, like you probably shouldn't bring your like children." These were like five kids ranging from like 5 to maybe 13 years old. I was like, "They probably shouldn't be out like screaming in a grocery store, you know, at 10 p.m. on a school night." But anyways, I was just thinking like,
I want to see where you're going.
Well,
with
everyone
this, man.
Has the right. I was like, "Well, you know what? It's not my business. Everyone has the right to buy and eat whatever they want,
even a bunch of olives."
And then I was kind of thinking, "Well, everyone." And then I was thinking about video games because I knew the podcast was coming up, and I think about video games a lot. And I was like, "Does everyone have the right to play some kind of video game? Like, is that what free to play games are? Like, for people who have money, you can get a better experience. But everyone deserves video games. So if you're very poor or disadvantaged, well, albeit you still live in a house with a computer and internet."
Well, that's not why there are
pretty good standards. Yeah, but they'll like, "Do you have the right to those?" And I've kind of been thinking about that. Like, are we going to approach a point, or are we already there where like, in some way, like the art and entertainment of video games is opening itself up to be available to everyone, and that there will be an expectation that everyone can and will play them?
Well, everyone can play Candy Crush.
Everyone can listen to music. Everyone can get books. You can get movies from the library. Like, the newest like emerging like art form, I guess, is video games. We're probably going to hit that point, right, where more games become accessible. There are video games in libraries now and stuff, you know.
I feel like we're already there. There's free stuff on every platform. There's free phone games like Fire Emblem Heroes.
Yeah, I just wonder if we're like moving more and more and more towards that. There's always going to be a divide between like the $60 game and the free to play game and the freemium game, etc.
But a book is a totally independent, exclusive medium where if you have a book, you don't need to put your book in the book machine to read it. A computer needs to be played on a machine that you own that costs money, or played in a cafe.
The game, you mean?
Which costs money. Yeah.
True, but we could be moving towards more public access to computers, more public access to
internet. When there's PC bongs in America.
PC bongs aren't free.
Yeah.
Public library PC bongs.
Yeah, it's worth thinking about, but
it just made me think, like, there's a lot of basic stuff that people demand access to, and I think there's certain types of art, you know, sure, you can't get everything, you know, you can't see the newest movie in the theater,
you can't see John Wick 2 unless
you
pay for it.
John Wick 2, but like, you could
not unless you have a computer and you know what you're doing.
Yeah, there you go. But I want, but if you're gonna watch John Wick 2, you want to be in a movie theater. Well, you want to be, and want, you want it to be loud, and you want the screen to be big, and you want to hear those gunshots when Keanu Reeves pops off, kills just everyone in a room,
and then reloads.
And then reloads one time.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think games will trend towards that? That all
I don't know if that's
accessibility or no. Is it always going to be a hidden luxury item?
I don't know. Everyone on the subway plays video games.
Yeah, every like most people in first world countries, even poor people, have
the... get a Metro card, you can afford a DS.
Well, they're all playing mobile games. I don't know. They're all playing like free stuff. And I don't know. There's a lot of different people on the subway. Not everybody makes a lot of money, and not all apartments in New York are necessarily expensive.
Right, but everyone has access to some game, I guess.
Yeah.
I find that interesting.
And almost everyone is playing either a Candy Crush-esque puzzle game or a slot game.
What about Fire Emblem Heroes, James?
It's a wonderful game. It's a game where you collect young anime boys and girls, and you put them in your anime trophy case. It's quite the game.
So, I mean, those games may be primitive to us, those Candy Crushing Tetris games, but like those could be like, more people have phones than any console. Like that is a step towards like the accessibility of entertainment, gaming, and distraction to all people.
And like, maybe they see the Switch and they're like, "Whoa, it's a tablet! I can buy that. It'll be fun for my commute."
Yeah, why not? In 20 years, everyone has access to something that plays a competitive game or a deep single player experience, you know? I don't know.
Hey, Fire Emblem Fire Emblem Heroes may be pretty primitive, but that didn't stop me from playing like 10 hours of it this weekend.
I don't think it's bad at all, and I don't think it's... I think that it's probably my favorite Fire Emblem game.
I think it's one of my favorite Fire Emblem games ever, too.
Yeah, because it removes some of the worst things about Fire Emblem, which is things like permadeath, critical hits, controlling too many things at once, having characters that you don't care about necessary to play as, and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's plenty of actually kind of cool stuff with Fire Emblem Heroes, which is a free-to-play game that works in the Fire Emblem format. The beautiful triangle, swords beat axes beat poles beat swords. And then there's bows. It does all that stuff. It's weird. We talk about Fire Emblem a lot and wanting, like, I've always wanted to like Fire Emblem. I weirdly enough bought all the Fire Emblem games that have almost like every Fire Emblem game that's come to America.
Why do you want to like it?
Because,
it's popular.
It's got great waifus.
It's popular. James is absolutely right. There's some really great I mean, if you want, this can be a waifu simulator because you can have a team of some real cuties. But I guess one of the reasons why I always liked it
was funny, and I get it, but that's not the main important reason for you.
No, I mean, like, I like strategy games. I like RPGs. I like games where there's a progression. I've always liked the way that Fire Emblem like graphics work for weirdly enough. Like even the early ones, like there's that plane where it's like you see the horse and the guy on the horse with the sword, and then there's a guy with an axe, and the guy with the axe like, wait, hold on, sword. Okay, so the sword horse man would kill the axe man, and it's a really cool animation. And then they went to like the DS games are in 3D and the characters look sick and the animations are great on it, and it, like, if it like it looks satisfying, and
there's something about its persistence over time that's like, how could this game come out for 20 years and I don't like it yet?
Nothing is really Awakening got the closest where I beat Awakening. It was the first Fire Emblem game that I beat, and I liked pairing up the people and then having the kids. But this is
only one I've played, and I cannot get through it. It is so boring.
Okay, well, this game is interesting to people who haven't liked Fire Emblem games, but maybe have thought that they would like Fire Emblem games in the past.
I don't know what I was thinking.
What?
I don't
what,
know.
What? What? How'd you end up getting played? I mean, this is free to play.
I had a DS. What else was I supposed to do besides buy Fire Emblem? I heard it was cool. I played some Fire Emblem characters in Smash Bros. I was like, all right, I could get down maybe with some swords and some drama. And I don't know if I didn't get... I refuse to say that I didn't get far enough into it because I can't be playing a game for more than 10 hours waiting for it to become fun or interesting.
Okay, well, make sense. Well, let me try and sell you Fire Emblem Heroes, okay? Because there's some major differences. It still uses that really boring format, and it's still a really shallow game in a lot of ways. I guess until the end game, when there are more like technical passives, but you are always doing the thing you do in Fire Emblem, that is, you move someone two spaces and then you have them attack something and you just say attack. Like, they just do their thing. You don't even decide options. Like, you just do the thing that they do. So if they're a sword man,
their power is beyond your grasp, and that what makes them so
if you move the sword man and then the sword man attacks, and like, it either does good or it doesn't. But as James alluded to before, there's some really good things that cut down on the frustration of previous Fire Emblem games. No, there being no permadeath is a big deal. They've kind of been trending away from that.
Do you think that's good?
Yes. Why? Think, especially in this game, I think it's good because the heroes are hard to get, and imagining them dying, how bad that would be in this game.
No, I think that's good. I think that if a game...
You don't get them the way you do in other Fire Emblems, by the way. It's a gachapon game where you have to either like spend money on hero packs where you get heroes that have like random, have like different star level of abilities. They can be 1 to 5 stars. 5 stars obviously being the best, where they have the best stat increases and they have the best passives and stuff. And imagining like buying them and then losing them, especially when you're trying to train them, like, I don't think that this game works as well. This is like not a game about story the way that other Fire Emblems are, where you're progressing to increasingly harder, or if not really, just more enemies on screen in each thing, and you can imagine losing a character and either turning the game off or sticking with it. Like, this is about the gameplay. So it would be, it's more the equivalent of like you're playing Pokemon or you're playing Hearthstone and then you lose the game and then they just remove a card from your collection. They're just like, yep, you burned that card, now you don't have it. Like, that is similar to this, where like you're working at getting the heroes and powering them up, and it's all about like the gameplay and not about the story. So and it has like some multiplayer elements as well, so the idea of it having permadeath I think would be bad in this one. Is that fair, or is that, did I explain
myself? I get what you're saying. I'm just thinking like there's something about permadeath that I kind of like, but I also think that it's probably impossible in theory.
The theory of it is like this weird developer dream
where they're like, you lose a character and you feel horrible because like you wanted to grow that character stronger and you feel bad, but you keep moving forward. And the reality of it is that you lose the character and then you turn the game off and then you go back in, and that sucks.
Yeah, the problem like, is if they make you care then at all, then you care too much and you want to backtrack.
Yes.
If they don't make you care, then it doesn't matter because the characters are disposable. So it's like, if it's like, oh God, like I lost my favorite character, but I can still complete the game, then it kind of, you're always wrestling with like that business, that goal of just like, well, getting to the end. It's like, well, I can still get to the end without this character because they'll give me a new one. So I guess I didn't care about that character that much, but I don't want to play this game if I don't care about my characters. So maybe I should go back and get that character back. Or maybe like, it's a really tough balance. I think that the game would have to be so long and intricately detailed to make you feel at the same time very invested in characters but okay with seeing them go, the way that off the top of my head a series that I don't know anything about, Game of Thrones, does, where I know a lot of important characters die and people feel very strongly about that, but they may also feel satisfied with the arc of that character's story.
Yeah, I don't think that's analogous, because that's a
I don't think that works in a video game. In a video game, you feel responsible for it.
So like, even when I lost characters I didn't like, I felt like it was this big like if I didn't turn off the game and just reset and then play again,
it's like
and
you're
try
betraying
and...
them, or you, oh, I might miss out on something later.
Yeah,
you know?
Stuff like that. It just felt like there was this black spot. The way that you talked about Dragon's Dogma, when that you couldn't complete a quest, and then it was forever in your quest inventory, your quest log saying you couldn't complete it. That's how I felt
failed.
In Fire Emblem.
Red text.
Yes,
failed.
That's how I felt in Fire Emblem when like I lost the character that even if I didn't like the character or need the character as much, it still felt like it was this black spot on my Fire Emblem save where it was like, yep, yeah. I don't have this character, so I hope that I never needed to build them up and make them stronger because they're going to get useful later because now I don't have them.
Well, you have to be able to trust the game. The game has to do something to allow you to trust, to say, yes, it's okay to love this character, but it's also okay
to let them go.
And Fire Emblem maybe a little bit too...
It's too binary. It's too binary
for
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like something like Mass Effect can do that better than Fire Emblem can, where Mass Effect has it be a little bit more part of your tale and your story, whereas in Fire
they
Emblem,
craft, like,
it's just...
Yeah, they put that death into, like, a rich story.
Yes, and in Fire Emblem, it's not rich. It's like, you're playing the game, and then the other enemy moved close to one of your characters, and then the crit... Especially when crits are involved. Like, that was the lamest thing when it's like the enemy would, because the cool thing about Fire Emblem Heroes is that there's no critting or missing or anything. The characters do exactly what they're supposed to do. Before you attack, it'll tell you like this character will do X damage and the other character will do X damage, and at the end of the exchange, it'll leave them with this health and this health. Like, you know exactly what's happening before you go into it, and then there's no dice rolling, there's no miss, there's no crit that suddenly turns your entire plan around because, like, that wasn't supposed to happen, and now my character missed, and then they crit on them, and then they're dead, and now I'm down a person. So there's none of that. And the game gets apparently pretty deep towards the end with all the passives and stuff, and then there's also multiplayer in it where you can set up teams to defend and then attack, and you can also attack. So players can set up everything. The other cool thing about this Fire Emblem is, as James also said, very short games. Your teams are four people, and the enemy teams basically are only, I think they only go to four people. I've seen five before, I think, on the computer side. The games are over. Like, it actually ends up being a really good mobile game because every fight happens really, really quickly. And it's over in, you know, a minute or less. Never like I feel like 2 minutes max. Like, it never gets out of hand. So it's a really easy thing to like play. It is an actually easy thing to play on the go. It's very like digestible in that way. And then it has this like kind of end game where you can set up defending teams for PvP and then also attack enemy teams in PvP. So there's some actual things here.
Have you done any of that?
I did. I won 7 in a row, and it was the end of the season. It was telling me the season's ending in 6 minutes, and I'm like trying to desperately get in my last couple games to win, to max out, because you're supposed to win like 7 in a row gets you the, you can only go 7 games, and I think any loss resets it or something like that per the season or something, and you can get more, you get like points based on how well you did per win, and you can fight, it's kind of actually elegant. It matches you with like a team that's easy, so it's like a team that's like at your level, and since it's going to be CPU designated, you can play a little bit smarter around it. A team that's like a medium difficulty, or a team that's like expert difficulty, and the expert difficulty teams are obviously like better crafted teams, higher star teams, stuff like that. I guess good defending teams, stuff like that. Maybe higher level than you. So I just ended up picking all the normal fights for this first thing to kind of see how it would work out, and it was pretty cool. I could definitely imagine it. Like, I don't really know anyone in real life who's like such a Fire Emblem maniac, but But like, if that were your thing so hard, like the idea of like how it works is like you get these orbs for fighting or for doing like the story missions, or you could also buy them. And for 5 of the orbs, you can like you open this like booster pack basically, where there's 5 random heroes in it. And the colors of the orbs are related to the possible weapons of the heroes. So there's red for swords and fire tome, green for axes, yeah, and like green tome, blue for spears and blue tome, and then gray for bows, daggers, and healing. So when you open that up, you can pick like, okay, so I want a good character from the sword thing, and then when you hit that, you get like a pack opening animation basically, and then you could get someone like Marth or Roy, like you could get anyone from any previous Fire Emblem game. And another cool touch is that they use the artwork from that Fire Emblem game, so you get all this like mashup of different eras of Fire Emblem. There's some characters that like look more realistic and like almost like 90s era inside of a game booklet art, and then as it goes through the years, they get more anime and cute, and that's a nice little touch. So you get the heroes from all across Fire Emblem. I've got some sick heroes already. Got some pretty strong boys. I got a 4-star Roy who's just tearing it up super hard.
I'm a real young hero getting crits, throwing bows.
No crits. But people apparently... There's this one character that's apparently already broke, so I wonder if Nintendo will ever fix it. Takumi, which is he's an archer who gets access to a passive where he's able to counterattack. So the main weakness of archers is generally that they can't attack up close. They can only attack from 2 yeah. spaces away. So if you get up in their face and you're on the space adjacent to them, and then you attack, then they won't attack back. But Takumi can actually attack back, and he also is very good stat wise. So he's like very resistant, high damage, an archer that can shoot 2 spaces away like any other archer, but he's the only archer in the game that when you're on the space trying to kill him, you attack and then he can counterattack. So he's apparently
like that?
So I gotta get Takumi.
Do you like
that idea with the bows? I think that's from playing Baldur's Gate as a young teen.
Well, I mean, it's always been that way in Fire Emblem. That's not hero's thing.
I think it's always been that way. Well, D&D is older than Fire Emblem, man.
Sure,
and I'm pretty sure Baldur's Gate is based on that. I think it's always.
But did Baldur's Gate have the weapon triangle though? The weapon proficiency triangle? I think
no.
Not.
But you were heavily penalized for attacking with a bow at a certain range, where like your bow would be virtually ineffective.
I mean, that's how bows work, right, dog?
Because like I understand it as like a from game sense where it's like. People from range have an advantage over people that attack melee, and so they need to be disadvantaged when they get trapped in melee range. But also it's like, yo, your bow would still work. Like it might even be
But it's better. Hard to aim though, I would think, right?
It's hard to aim close up.
Cause people, I don't know, like, and then it has less inertia, right? Like behind it.
What?
Wouldn't you think that there'd be like a little bit less inertia?
I don't know.
It's not going as far. Because if you shoot a bow,
I feel like when you let go of the string,
it's the fastest.
If there's any time a building up for the arrow to be flying its fastest, it's like basically imperceptible. Like how could it be faster than, you know, the very like moment that the string kicks the arrow off of the bow? Right?
I would think it would be hard though.
It's a stupid semantic, but I'm just wondering, like, if you think that it's
with someone barreling down on your grill with a big giant axe, you think that you'd have your cool like trying to aim precisely with a bow? I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't, but I mean, I watched the Lord of the Rings movies. I'm pretty sure Legolas could shoot a bow from like a couple feet away.
He does. He definitely does. There's that time where he shoots it like. he jumps on that big mythical elephant and then like kills like five dudes like right
close.
Yeah,
bow users are associated with like agility stats, and agility usually implies like mobility and like finesse of movement. So I don't know. It's not important, but it just one of those like, is it for the game or is it for the richness of the fantasy, you know?
I would actually, weirdly enough, I don't know what it is about this game, but I keep playing it, and with Hearthstone being in like a nightmare slump
I think you just told us.
It's a mobile game. It's on my phone. it's cute as hell, man. Like
it's
the animations.
And it's not Hearthstone.
Yeah, it's cute as hell. It's like the animations are good for it. It's cool and rewarding to power up the characters, to build different teams. Nintendo has done really cool stuff with daily login stuff. Every day there's a map that you can play that has a hero on it. That's like a hero of the day, where if you beat the map, you get the hero, and the hero's in the map itself, so you can get like. You can do it every day and build up your ranks. And then also there's like all this monthly login stuff that gives you extra of all their insane necessary end game items, like feathers that power up characters, dueling swords that let you do PvP, orbs that let you buy and summon the heroes.
That doesn't make me feel good.
I mean, it's free as hell though.
But any kind of like daily or like time-based like login or participation, like I don't know, it doesn't actually hook me and it doesn't make me feel good.
The different thing about this though is that, man, I'm really telling you, these maps are short. Like this is the perfect daily in the way that like you go to take a shit and if you got 2 minutes to pull out your phone, you got enough time to jump in, look at what hero is the daily for this and bang it out. Like it's not a time consuming game remotely.
And today it's the farmer.
Donald
Conquest.
Donald, he has a little bucket on his head. I have bought orbs. I'm surprised that question didn't come up.
But it's free.
I paid for it.
Oh, so let me guess, $12.
Yes, you're right. You're correct. That was a good guess. Yes, that was the where the price that I wanted to buy in at. Got some hot.
Do you feel a satisfying return on that?
Oh yeah, like a lot of my people that I would use right now are, and I got some of the characters that I have cool Fire Emblem memories of, so it kind of carries over where like the best moments of. I don't have Lon Q yet.
Oh, man.
I don't have the my dude. You know that I was buying
big
packs just trying to get
dude.
that big dong, that Lon Q. He is the hero. He takes it to the plane. He's like the best moments of Fire Emblem were as much as I hate crits, were those moments where it's like, oh man, this pole user is coming up on my sword man Lon Q. No way this is gonna work out. Lon Q's dead.
This guy's trying to wave his big pole around
in front of my
Lon
Q, and then Lon Q's like, you got that big sword, but it's not all about size, or is it? And then he's like, check this out, and then he lays a fat crit down, kills them, and it's like, what, Lon Q? That was not supposed to happen. You are my hero. How do you make it happen consistently like that? And you just
that's
like
some overtime shit though, where
that
it's
is,
like, I
so
didn't
sick.
Earn this at all, but it worked out in my favor, so
but,
I'm happy.
It's something to do with like, it's what I've always envisioned Pokemon, where like you are the tactician, but there's like a built-in like AI that guides it. So like that's what I've always wanted for Pokemon, and Fire Emblem almost is that in a little way where you can move them up to the spaces, but like they can miss like idiots, or they can crit and make you feel super happy about it or about
and
your
you
choices.
Also imagine that they could reskin this game for Pokemon and it would be so damn fine.
Oh man, and people would just lay money into it. I can't.
And yeah, you would go to the Safari Zone, and that's like opening a pack.
Isn't it like almost Pokemon Duel in like a way, a little bit? Am I wrong? Is Pokemon Duel a game?
No, Pokemon Duel is an awful thing.
Because I did.
Did you play Pokemon Duel? Because
I think I explained to you last podcast.
That
I got blisteringly drunk, and then I tried to understand it. The great thing about Fire Emblem Heroes. But seriously, if I haven't made this clear yet, I'm not even like a huge Fire Emblem fan, despite owning all the games. Just download it. Like, just download it. It's free. This is not a game this is the exact opposite of Pokemon Duel, where I was too drunk to understand Pokemon Duel, and they wouldn't let me control or do anything for so long that it got so boring that I couldn't stand playing it, and then I fell asleep, and I don't remember even really, like, what I was doing by the end of playing it. This is a game that, like, the understanding it, they show you the weapon wheel on the bottom. Like, it's a very shallow game, but has, like,
they color code it for you,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's like they color code it. It's a very shallow game, but has, like, some light tactical elements. And while you're doing that, like, you have that gachapon element where you're also opening packs, and maybe if you want to throw some Skrill, you can open even more packs. And you're building up the characters, unlocking, like, passives and weapons and stuff for them. Not really, a little bit on the weapons part, but yeah, mostly passives. Building up different teams and seeing all the Fire Emblem characters, and it's cool and it's very simple, and you can bang out a game super sick. But also, what's been happening is, like, I'll get sucked up in it. Like, I'll be thinking, like, I don't know why I keep playing Fire Emblem Heroes. Like, I don't know, like at the end of playing Fire Emblem Heroes, I'm like, yep, I probably won't even get into that again. And then, like, a little time will pass, and it'll be like, yeah, I'll play, you know, one game. And then it totally turns into, like, a 10, 20 games or whatever, just really quick. It ends up not being really quick. It's pretty neat. It lets you jump in right away and play, and it's cool.
Cool, man, that sounds like a good modern game.
It's they made a Fire Emblem game that works on mobile. Like, it works perfectly.
He said it was the perfect game.
I didn't say perfect.
Well, you almost did. You said perfect.
It works really well on mobile.
Is anybody else gonna? Are you guys gonna play Nioh tomorrow?
Yo,
Sean,
I am.
You don't have a PS4, right?
I don't have consoles, dude. Come on.
I'm
20, like cut to the chase. I'm 27 years old. I don't have consoles anymore.
The thing is I've been kind of wanting to play Bloodborne recently. I've been thinking about it, and I feel like
best game of 2015.
For like 3 years.
Best game of 2015, guys.
1 year, not three.
Yeah, so I feel like Nioh is sort of like there, where it's like,
I don't want to.
Might not be new enough for me, so because like I've played most of it, so Nioh might
played,
be.
Did you play Ninja Gaiden?
It's not like Ninja Gaiden
on Xbox or Ninja Gaiden.
It's not like Ninja Gaiden. It's Dark Souls. It's totally Dark Souls.
Dude, it's the same. Okay.
It's Dark Souls, my dude.
It's the same. It's the people that made Ninja Gaiden,
and they made a Dark Souls
being
game,
heavily inspired by Dark Souls. I know that there is going to be a certain level of speed and execution and a visual style that is
boring,
comparable to Ninja Gaiden.
It's boring.
That game is sure. I don't know if you find it boring. Yeah. I mean, back in the original Xbox days, I played Ninja Gaiden Black, and it was really good. I it was a really fun action game, but some of the like extra challenges and stuff.
It was a good game. It was a great game.
The Black remaster were impossible for me. That game moves fast, and you execute hard. And the way that I read about Nioh is like, is it Nioh? I would have just said Nioh.
Nioh.
Either way,
I think it's if it were Japan, if it's Japanese, it's Nioh. But
okay, cool.
Let's go.
In any case, you play as William.
Yeah, which is hilarious. You play as like a sailor.
You play as William.
But it's a real sailor. It's like an actual sailor, but
which makes it even worse.
I know, it's so funny, right?
Hey guys, this is my first time in Japan. My name's Will.
Why did they have to? They basically last samurai'd it, right? Like they last samurai'd it so hard.
Call me Bill if you want to get to know me. That's what my friends say. Yeah. Anyways,
my best friends call me William.
Fast, really punishing, like high execution. That's what I've read about it. And yeah, Dark Souls is a little bit like that. But Dark Souls does have this kind of like this lumbering, like slow, like a lot of like weight in it. Ninja Gaiden doesn't have any weight.
Like, I feel like you're speaking out of your ass. Have you seen trailers of this?
Spinning and stuff is flying at you and spinning at you.
It's flying.
It's a different feeling.
I feel like you're speaking out of your ass because you're not flying and spinning in this game. You are on the ground. You are blocking, dodging. You have a stamina meter
The UI is taken from Dark Souls. It's just like,
yeah, but there's no popping people up in the air and comboing them in this game. Like,
yeah, really?
It's not Dynasty.
There's no Sparrow dashing.
No,
where you fly through the air with a slash. And like, that's how you connect like one thing to another, getting like infinite, like 100.
No, that's why I'm saying that it's not. Like it is Tecmo Koei or whatever. It's Ninja Gaiden, but
what about
Team Ninja?
Plus?
But it's Team Ninja. But if you look at some videos of it, it's slow. It's Dark Souls.
Yeah,
it's slightly faster than Dark Souls, but you're not like you're not like clearing out rooms of enemies and tossing them into the air and cutting them up.
Not until New Game Plus.
Yeah, New Game Plus is when you unlock anti-gravity mode, and then you fly through the air, or you fall through the air with your cat Dusty.
You don't clear out giant rooms of enemies in Ninja Gaiden either.
But you do in Dynasty.
Yes, you do, and Ninja Gaiden has big rooms.
You fight maybe a couple at a time. That's not true, dude.
It's not huge rooms, no. You do fight a couple, though. You do fight, like, five dudes.
That game was too hard.
It is pretty hard.
I think Neo is probably really
I've heard some really tough stuff.
I mean, Polygon was like,
we didn't even know what to do. Yeah,
we didn't beat it yet.
They're like, we're a bunch of childrens. We're sucking on our thumbs. Can't finish this one.
Then again, if you look at the videos, haven't showed too many different places. Like if you look at the IGN review, you see maybe and maybe this is a good thing because
the IGN review said it's like hundreds of hours.
Yeah, but at the same time, they showed off three environments in the video.
Maybe they're not. Maybe there's a. Maybe there's like an embargo on certain areas of the game. Maybe it's like you can't show past the first opening hours. Because I see that one boss, this giant slug boss, a lot. So maybe that's just like opening hours. Because the review straight up said like there's hundreds of hours in this game. Like you could go buck wild.
Do you think you're gonna get it?
I think I might because I've been sort of craving something like this. But the thing is it's like if I
you
do
guys could
get
beat
this
it.
Game, if I do get this game, then I'm not gonna re up on an MMO this month because I'm gonna just sit down and focus on playing this.
Yeah,
I'm 100% buying it. I'm 100% buying it. Yep.
Tomorrow. I'm so fascinated, but I don't want to get angry the way that I did at Dark Souls 1.
I'm gonna
I had to take like these angry, like nightmarish naps in between like play sessions because I'm so frustrated.
Maybe next week I'll tell you.
And it's you know, I've been playing a lot of Enter the Gungeon, and I actually beat the game with all four main characters now. And there's still like a lot of stuff to do, but I think that game is like way harder than the Souls series. But it's a different kind of difficulty.
You can definitely say that now.
I can.
Would you have
said Dark Souls 3 is peasy. Play Bloodborne. Get back to me on that. When you play those DLC bosses.
Bloodborne is too repetitive, which is why I didn't want to play it. I really, really
don't know
like
that's true.
The health system.
I mean that health system.
Because I don't
want
to farm for blood.
I think the gameplay is much less repetitive than Dark Souls.
If I
want to
farm for blood, I'll do it in my basement.
Get blood or get good.
I'm currently working on my Bloodborne Nuzlocke run.
And that's the deal with games that don't exist.
So anyways, how about that Resident Evil?
Oh, right? Shiesta. Yeah.
Yeah, let's just smooth over that.
Are you going to play it this week, Sean? Or what
you know
are
your
you
boy has
for?
It. Dude, I haven't had a day off.
Oh my god, right, Sean, I want to spoil the shit out of this game.
Because it takes a day to beat that game.
Yeah, you can bang it out in like a good 8 or 10.
Don't rush
if you don't
me.
Get too spooked, there were times where I had to walk away from the game because I felt like it was just a bit too heavy for me at moments.
Yeah, the beginning is especially heavy.
If I'm having fun playing the actual game, I will get into that and I will.
Oh, I had fun the whole way through, absolutely. But there were times where it was difficult for me to press on.
You know how I am.
Out of getting spooked.
I gotta be in the mood. I gotta have a lot of time. I'm a sensitive guy, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is I also do want to play For Honor when it comes out, and I feel like that does not overlap with Nioh. I feel like I can play those two games in concert with very little to worry about, but I think that I might need to table the MMOs for a bit while I dig into those.
I mean, the MMOs are gonna like MM erode at your Twitch skills, which you're gonna need.
Oh yeah,
to be on top of.
I feel like that. I feel like whenever I go back to Overwatch,
you're gonna get
like
so
I'm a sloppy.
Friggin' lazy, like pressing 1, 2, 3 on your Final Fantasy.
Well, that's not how Elder Scrolls works. It's a direct action game, but I see what you mean. For what it's worth, I actually do like that. I do like the combat in Elder Scrolls games in general, somehow, some way. I'm glad that I like it. I understand that it's not the best, but I'm thankful that I like it because it lets me play those games and enjoy them. And there's a lot of them to play if you do like that kind of thing. Are we good?
I really want to spoil the shit. I really wish Sean would finish it because that game, I would almost want to have an entire breakdown of that game because it's so fascinating.
It'll be more fascinating and more interesting after I've played it, and I promise you, I will dig into it this week.
All right, so next week we've got Nioh and Resident Evil.
The game is, I know you're hype on it. I know it's short. I know it's the hot new thing, but it hasn't been out that long.
Yeah.
You know I'm slow. I will play it.
Well, for the time being, we could all just hop into the Palace of the Dead, do some runs. Am I right, boys?
Could also
or
get
do
some
Year of the Rooster picks.
Yeah, I could do that. I just need to finish the current dungeon that I'm in, and I'm down.
You're dungeoning? Because
you know I'm dungeoneering. Yeah, I'm in this Final Fantasy. I'm trying to get to 50, dude.
That's why I didn't see it pop up on the side of my screen. Because I don't see that. Because usually when you're jumping around in games, I have Steam open, so I see the games you're playing.
Yeah. No, I've been just chipping away at this. And, you know, I think that so far, the absolute... Man, I can't believe that I'm going to hit level 50, and then I'm going to have to go backwards and level up again for the third time.
Well, while you're, chomping away at your dungeon, cool kids like me are chomping away at Funyuns.
That doesn't stick.
Yeah,
I don't know the irrelevancy of that.
Since I started working at a retail job where I have to make idle small talk and grasp.
I think
jokes.
that happened to me too. I think I was a overall more funny jokester before I worked a full-time job.
I started laughing this like twisted maniacal laugh today at work because I said something that was so that I wanted to be funny but was so obviously stupidly unfunny that I was just like, "Ha, I'm so all of my best jokes are at work and I'm so happy at work." And I was like shouting at my coworker.
You know what's weird? I had a moment similar to that where
down, dude.
Yeah. There is something about a full-time job that makes it so that you can't come up with new good humor. Like all you can do is recycle.
Because you have 40
humor.
Hours of like roughly the same sorts of activities with the same people.
Yes.
So you're just trying to like stretch out every little thing just to talk and just smile about anything. And sometimes it works, like definitely. I don't have a bad time at work, but sometimes I say stuff that I'm just like, I am so embarrassed that I thought that was a joke when it came out of my mouth. Please, just can we move on? You know, I'm not usually like that, but
That's the deal with games. This has been What's the Deal with Games or WTDG Podcast, depending on where you find us. You can find us on Twitter at WTDG Podcast on that's it, right? Just Twitter? No, that's not
it.
There's also WTDG Podcast. .com and iTunes. What's the deal with games where you can rate, comment, and subscribe to the show?
Can you find us on Spotify?
No.
You can find us on Pandora. Thank you, Ryan Galway and Crying, for the use of your music. We use Revive as the intro and the outro off the new album Beyond the Fleeting Gales. You can find them at the Run for Cover Bandcamp. They're currently on tour in Europe. Get it while it's hot.
They're in Zurich or something.
Get what while it's hot?
Get it while it's hot.
Their old album?
Get it while it's hot.
Their Get Old album.
Get old while it's hot.
Yeah, what about Bull Dada?
What about Bull Dada? Do they want to do intro and outro for the show?
Well, we could do half and half, you know? I'm saying we could do a split.
Oh, so, yeah. Next week we'll have the Bull Dada intro. We got the crying outro.
If you haven't checked out Bull Dada's newest, hottest album, Bull Dada's Tavern, you can find them at the Bull Dada Band Camp. They are an incredible mix of rock, roll.
Yeah, the two, those have always mixed well, I find.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, James.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Sean and Ryan.
Thank you, especially. Corb.
Can you end us with a prayer, James? Because last week you said something to the effect of video games are here to say you're gonna be okay, you're gonna be okay, or something like that. And I thought it was very touching. Sure? Yes.
I can end it with a grace.
I thought it was very touching. Go back and listen to the it's the first thing that happens in the podcast is you say video games are here to say you're okay or something like that. And I thought it was very touching, and maybe you could end it on a hopeful note. A little,
I'm just gonna say feel good video games.
That's good enough for me.
I'm gonna reiterate that I'm head over heels, head in the clouds. I got a gravity crush on you. Dizzy feeling, my heart is reeling. I gravity rush to you.
That's both thematic for the podcast and the upcoming holiday.
Yeah, dude, we're going to have a, by the way, listeners, we're going to have a special Valentine's Day episode. So get you and your loved ones together by the fireside, crack open a bottle of wine, melt some cheese, and cuddle up, because we're going to have to do a special love episode about love and life in relationships and video games. I'm going to be asking a lot of questions about the romantic side of the cyber world.
Wow, we have gone off the rails. I'm ending it now.